begin to evaluate your life in that way. If Jesus walked in the room right now, would he be proud of me or disappointed? If Jesus walked in the room while I was saying this right now, what would he think? Would you be a different person if Jesus walked in the room? How many times have I seen church people, and you'll be at a restaurant, for example, I'll walk into a restaurant right at one time years ago. Our guitar player at the time, I think it was guitar player, I don't know, he did something. He was a musician, one of those things that I can't do. So, and it's not one of our guitar players here. Just want to make that clear. Walk in, Applebee's. And I hear this filth coming out of his mouth. Language that some of the world you wouldn't expect to be speaking like. And the second you come up, all of a sudden, their language changes. Everything they're talking about changes. They're only drinking a Coke, but they're whispering to the waitress to put some Jack in there. And the funny thing is the sad thing is that waitress is the one that we're trying to win to church. Oh, he's from your church? Did you know he's got some Jack in that drink over there? And they're the first one to call you out on it. Because she was the one that told us. But coming up behind him as he doesn't know that I'm entering into his presence, once he sees me, oh, Josh, hey, how you doing? The language stops. Things change. Who are you behind closed doors? If Jesus would walk in, would your attitude change? Would your personality change? Would your language change? Would the music turn off and go to Joy FM instead? Would the television flip off and you flip old Joel Osteen on instead? Or somebody else, whoever. But to live that spotless life, begin to think of the things you do, and would you change them if Jesus walked in the room? Would you change the things that you say if Jesus walked in the room? Would you become a different person in front of Jesus than you are in front of your best friend? Than you are at the people with the people at work, in your schools, whatever it may be? Do you change because of who you are around? If you do, then evaluate who you really are. Evaluate, and I'm telling you, I'm not just saying try to be holy around both or try to be evil around both, but what I'm saying is begin to look at your life. Who are you? What you're doing when you change is you're becoming a follower of those around you. You're not really trying to become somebody. You're trying to be liked in the atmosphere you're around. You're trying to say, if I'm around the pastor, I'm going to talk this way. But if I'm around my best friend, I'm going to talk this way. Try to figure out who you are. Try to figure out where your relationship with Christ is. So many people will come into this house and act like everything's great. Oh, God is good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my life's perfect. And then you walk into a Walmart and there they are screaming and cursing out their spouse. But it's about who are you? Who are you trying to become? But don't look at it as in I am two people. Look at it as in, you know what? I am beginning to stumble in certain areas. I do need to pick up the pace with my relationship with God. Because a relationship with God is knowing that he's with you at all times. Knowing that when you're having those two different types of walks, that he's still in both of those walks. He's still there no matter what. Just because you go to your job and you hate your job doesn't mean you need to have a bad attitude when you're at your job. Then you ask, but how do I do this? Let's go to Luke 1:6. It says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So what they did is they obeyed God's commandments. They obeyed the Bible and of the Lord blameless. So they walked righteously without sinning. They walked with a clear conscience before the Lord. Abraham walked with a clear conscience before the Lord. When you have a clear conscience, it means you're not sinning. But in order to do that, it's just by obeying the word. About obeying it. And I'm going to tell you what, the more you obey it, and the more you listen to your conscience, the more you listen to that little birdie on your shoulder, the good birdie, not the bad one, the more you listen to that, the more you'll be able to hear the next thing you need to change in your life. The more you'll be able to advance forward into your relationship with Christ. What happens when you begin to eliminate that voice, begin to not listen to that voice, that's when more things begin to build up. When you begin to leave that spot, lay there, more and more spots begin to come. The longer I wait on cleaning this stage, the dirtier it becomes. And the dirtier it becomes, the harder it is to get it clean. The longer it takes to get it back right to where it needs to be. Same way in our lives, that we need to begin to eliminate things now. We need to begin to understand and listen to the voice that's being spoke to us. 1 Peter 2:12, it says, 2:12 and 20 through 24. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, so a lot of times people accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins and his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Live for Christ, even though a lot of times we'll be accused of not. How many of y'all have been accused of being ungodly? People of the world, they try to find something wrong in a Christian. You know what? A lot of times there's that guilt building up in them inside of themselves that they're trying to find something wrong with you to justify how they are. They're trying to pick out something in your life, a flaw or something, a spot in your life, so they can say, well, they're no better than me. They call themselves Christians, but you know what? They're just like me. They're going to try to find that spot in your life that you haven't picked up and cleaned up your act yet. But you know what? It's time that we begin to pick up our spots and begin to move forward. And even if they were right about something that you did, but that they begin to see the change in your life. They begin to see somebody new working in your life. That when they come back, they go, wow, those things I accuse them of, I don't see. But they begin to see that when they accuse you of something, that you don't retaliate, as the Bible says, that he was accused of things, but he didn't retaliate or act on that. He continued to live a just and righteous life. He continued to live the way he was called to live. He didn't live by what people said to him. He didn't retaliate on things just because of what was said. He continued to live his life between him and God. His relationship between him and man didn't affect his relationship between him and God. If his relationship would have affected his relationship with God, his with man, we wouldn't be here today. We would have no one that have paid the price for our sins. That it says he bore our sins on the cross. That he took our sins because he knew we couldn't do it. He said, you know what? They're not going to be able to do it. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to stand strong and take all their sins on the cross. I'm going to have to take it for them. He himself bore our sins, his body on the cross, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So now we can die to our sin and try to live that perfect life and become righteous. Because now we're able to accept him into our lives and he's able to live through us. Before, we couldn't do it. It was impossible to live a sinless life. But now if we'll wake up each morning and we will truly crucify our flesh and we'll begin to let Christ live through us, we can begin to live that spotless life. But for some reason, we don't like to wake up every morning and crucify our flesh. When it comes to dieting, I don't like to crucify my flesh. Philippians 1, 5 through 6. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. For your fellowship in the gospel, so your fellowship, your friendship with the gospel, your relationship with this book. It says your fellowship with the gospel from the first day you open this book up until now, being confident of this very thing, that he, capital H, who has begun a good work in you, he's already began to change things in your life, will complete it until the day of Jesus. That he will continue, if you allow him, to change your life. He will continue to work through you and try to make you become righteous until the day you die. That your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he began that work in changing your life, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus will help make you spotless because he not only lives through you, but in you. That it's him that will help make you spotless. That it's him that can make you accomplish this greatness. Make you accomplish something so much more. That it's not us. We can't do it. We can try all we want, but without him, we're helpless. I leave you with this. Begin to evaluate your life in a way of what if Jesus walked in the room? What if the Creator stood before me? Would I change what I'm doing? If there's any area in your life that you would change, begin to change it. Begin to work on it. Begin to change it going forward. I don't care from the littlest spot to the biggest thing in your life. Whatever it may be, don't let those spots build up and take over your life. Begin to eliminate them out of your life now. Begin to change who you are so you can become more like him. Let's pray.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.